Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to another News in Focus program. It is January 6th, the first Sunday of 2013. We're looking at a real short article posted in the ChristianPost.com, and the contributor is Kumar. Kumar is the author of the article. Ex-pastor Jack Scott seeks minimum sentence in teen sex case. Jack Scott, former pastor of First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, has requested in a new court filing that he be given the minimum 10-year sentence for his sexual relationship with a teen girl from his church. He blamed the affair on stress and depression. So right off the bat, we see that he's not pleading not guilty. He is pleading guilty. He's not trying to fight it. And at this point, Scott, 55 years old, is asking for the minimum sentence. The article says he was under great stress, exhausted and depressed at the time of the relationship, says a sentencing memorandum filed in the U.S. District Court in Hammond by the megachurch's pastor's attorney, Paul Strassi. Unfortunately, for a four-week period during the summer of 2012, he acted in a manner contrary to the entire balance of his life by engaging in sexual activity with a young woman with whom he had only recently come to counsel, Strassi wrote in the memorandum according to the Associated Press. Now, I'm sure that's exactly what it says, but I want to tell you, listener, that that is not a true statement when he says he acted in a manner contrary to the entire balance of his life. The truth is, if you do an analysis of what Scott preached about, it was very sex-focused. It had an overture of sexual focus that was simply inappropriate, too much, overboard. Look, folks, when anybody finds sex in the Lord's Supper, there is a serious problem. Scott, who pleaded guilty 4 months ago to taking the teen girl across the state lines with the intent to engage in sexual activity, was regularly working 100-hour weeks as he struggled to raise money for the 15,000-member church, handled additional counseling responsibilities, and had to lay off staff, the memorandum said. He was also being treated for chronic and acute inflammation of his prostate. All of that led to his abhorrent behavior with the girl who turned 17 during the relationship. So let's pause for just a moment and remind ourselves that we have a responsibility to protect ourselves, that we have a responsibility to be careful, that we as pastors have a responsibility to know how many hours a week we can work. We have to take regular Sabbaths. According to the Word of God, we need rest, and we also want to make sure that we conduct our finances in the church in such a way that there isn't a spending that requires such a focus on raising money. The article goes on to say, I was not aware of the law, Scott said, while pleading guilty in September, but added he knew his actions were sinful and wrong. While serving as the pastor of First Baptist Church, Dr. Scott committed his entire life to the service of his local community as well as the world at large, said the new filing, which was supplemented with 140 letters of support, including from his family, his church, and pastors all across the country. We were known for our happy marriage, and it was not hypocrisy, it was real, Scott's wife, Cindy, said in a letter. His preaching was helpful to me to understand a lot about my behavior, and it's been a great tool in my healing of my marriage and relationship with my children, Paul Collins, a church member, wrote in another letter. The married father of two who stood accused of having sexual relations with a girl and taking her across state lines to Illinois and Western Michigan for the sexual encounters was removed from his position at First Baptist Church in August after a deacon apparently found a text message on his cell phone that showed a picture of pastor and the girl kissing. Scott had been counseling the girl, it was revealed. The U.S. District Judge Rudy Luzanzo scheduled the sentencing for January 15th, but Assistant U.S. Attorney Jill Rachel Koster has asked the judge for a 45-day continuance in Scopp's sentencing, partly because of the size of the filing and the need to respond to it. Now, there are many lessons that we can learn from this, and we have done previous podcasts to talk about the lessons. What I want to briefly bring to your attention is that there is nothing wrong with Scopp asking for the court to be merciful upon him. And let us all remind ourselves as we listen to this podcast that each of us could be in this position. Every one of us. There isn't any of us that should seek to suggest to anyone that we could not fall into this sin. We must be careful. We must be careful not to become arrogant. Galatians 6:1 is a great reminder. Brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So there's the admonishment for us, and it's abundantly clear. Let us again consider this idea that we might become very judgmental of Scopp, and we might think to ourselves, I can't believe he's asking for mercy. Let us remember that the very gospel that we believe in, the gospel that drives our train, the gospel that guides our way, is a gospel built upon this truth. And it's found in Deuteronomy 32:43. Rejoice, O nations, with his people, for God will avenge the blood of his servants and will render vengeance to his adversaries. And God will be merciful unto his land and to his people. David said in Psalm 26:11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Psalm 41:4 says, I stand, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Psalm 41:10 says, but thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. Psalm 57:1, be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. Psalm 67:1, God, be merciful unto us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. Psalm 119:58, I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. Psalm 119:132, look thou upon me and be merciful. How about Luke 18:13? The publican was presented as an example for all of us, standing afar off. He would not even lift up his eyes so much as his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, and these were his words, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so, let us ensure that we do not for even a moment become judgmental to Scopp and consider that we would not also ask for the minimum sentence, that we would not for even a moment ask for the same thing if we were in his shoes. And let us make sure that all of us would be articulating our own goodness and be making excuses for our behavior. And if you think for a moment that you would be the exception, I would ask you to ask yourself to consider your own heart, for it is deceitfully wicked. And according to Jeremiah 17:9, we can't even know our own heart. And so those are my thoughts. We pray that Scopp would be restored to Cindy. We pray that their life could be restored. We pray for their children. We pray for the church. We recognize that if God would count our sins, who would stand? If God would count our sins, who would stand? Who could stand after God would account our sins? Thanks. Have a great day. I pray you're in church somewhere on this Lord's Day.